Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter number 31. We're just going to highlight a few things today to speak to us from this passage of Scripture and challenge our hearts today. Well, I always enjoy Mother's Day. It's a wonderful day in the house of the Lord. Busy day here at Calvary. I can't always keep up with all the twists and turns of an order of service, and keeps me busy. One morning, as a wife woke up and she saw her husband getting ready to leave for work, she said with a big smile on her face, she said, "Honey, I bet you don't know what today is." And her husband, I mean, you know, he caught that kind of feeling, you know, and he was having a hard time remembering her birthday and anniversaries and all that, but he's getting ready to leave for work, so he sort of said, "Well, honey, I'm in a hurry, I've got to get to work," and he excused himself from that embarrassing situation as he walked out of the door, and he said, "Honey," he said, "how could I ever forget such a wonderful day like this, the best day of our lives?" And then all day long he's trying to think, what day is it? What day is it? Trying to remember the month and the day of her birthday, the month and day of their anniversary, and it just wasn't coming to him. He was just a blank about what that day was all about. And day wore on and getting close for it, time for him to get off from work, and he knew he was going to have to go home and face his wife and own up that he didn't know what this special day was. And so he said, "You know what, I got a plan." So he rushes to the house and he said, "Honey, get your best dress on. We're going out on the town tonight and we're going to celebrate this outstanding day in our lives." She started getting ready, and while she's getting ready, he rushes down to the florist, gets a big bouquet of flowers, you know, took her to the most expensive restaurant he could find in town. I mean, he'd already spent $150 to celebrate that day, and he didn't even know what he was celebrating. On his way home, his wife snuggled up to him, placed her arm around him and around his shoulder and planted a soft kiss on his cheek. And she said, "Honey, this is the best Groundhog Day we've ever enjoyed together." Well, at least she had a good Groundhog Day, right? Well, I hope you'll give your wife or your mother a good Mother's Day today. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for the wonderful ladies that make up a part of the Calvary Baptist Church body of believers. And what a joy and privilege it is for us to be a part of your lives. And we count that a great honor. When you come to Proverbs chapter 31, you find one of those places in Scripture where God extols the grace and the blessing of womanhood. There was a Hindu lady spoke to another Christian lady, and of course she didn't understand everything about the Bible, but she had been reading the Bible, and she said to her, she said, "A woman must have written your Bible." And she said, "Well, why would you say like that? Something like that?" She said, "Because your Bible says so many wonderful things about women." Well, we know that God didn't, while He named some books and wrote some books about some women in the Bible, like Ruth and Esther and all of that, we know that God has elevated women and womanhood above anything the world could imagine. Let me tell you what the world wants to do. The world wants to make a woman an object. You know, but that's not what God does. God elevates her to the place of dignity and feminine womanhood that He created her to be. He places a premium upon who you are as a woman. And I believe in Proverbs 31, you see a woman and a mother who wins. Don't you want to be a woman who wins? A mother. But that's far different from what the world would consider winning in the life of a woman. They would think it would be elevating yourself in the world of a man and winning against men. You know, that's not what God intended. Matter of fact, God never made us competitors. God made us completers. You know, I'm not complete without my wife. My wife is not complete without me. And we're never more liberated than when we're being what God would have each of us to be. Amen? Look at Proverbs 31. Let's look at it. If you don't have a Bible, these verses will be on the screen. And I just felt like that we could have pulled one verse out, but I'm just going to read them all. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, to you young men who are unmarried, that word "find" means to secure. It means to acquire. The Bible said that he that findeth a wife obtaineth a good thing. And that he's obtained favor of the Lord. You found a good thing. You secured a good thing. And here is a mother writing to her son, speaking to King Lemuel, and she's saying to him about the kind of woman, the character, and the virtue. And he said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She's invaluable. You can't put a price tag on a godly lady. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat for her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. She's an entrepreneur. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray and ask God to bless His Word. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the ideals You set before us for manhood and womanhood and fatherhood and motherhood. And Lord, the truths of Scripture that teach us to be the kind of people You'd have us to be. Father, thank You for the godly women of Calvary Baptist Church. Help me to challenge them today and to challenge us. And Lord, I pray You'll bless us. Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior today, let this be the day that they're an answer to somebody's prayer who's prayed for their salvation or their return to You. And Father, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the word virtuous in verse number 10. It's an interesting word. I began to study the word this week as I was preparing for the message, and it was interesting. It's a word that has the idea. It's one of those words, you know what it means, but it's hard to put words to. Would that make sense? It has the idea of a moral excellence. It has the idea of nobility of character. Bound up in the word, and the Hebrew word is strength. You know, we get the idea today based on the society around us that somehow for a woman to be feminine, that they associate that with weakness or being lesser than a man. But you know what? That was never built into God's design for womanhood. As a matter of fact, this word has the idea and its strength is built into it. It's a word that simply means, the word feminine, by the way, it's a word that simply means that which uniquely pertains to a woman. You know, there's nothing more liberating, as I said earlier, than to being what God created us to be. And when God created humans, alright, He didn't make one gender better than another gender. He didn't make one gender greater than another gender. He didn't make one greater or lesser. He made us different. And I'm glad He did. I'm glad my wife is different from me in every way. What a blessing that is. If there's gender confusion in our world, it does not come from God. God's not the author of confusion, but Satan is. And he seeks to blur the lines and he seeks to try to create confusion in people's lives. And the reality of it is that there is strength. Now listen, ladies, and young ladies in our church today, there is strength in being who and what God created you and made you to be. Can I tell you, you win as a woman, you win as a wife, you win as a mother when you become the person that God desires and designs that for you to be within His plan for your life. And it's interesting that this virtue flows out of a relationship with God. Look over, if you would, in verse number 30. The Bible said, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That phrase, fearing the Lord, is the idea idea of being in a relationship with God. It's not that I'm afraid of God, but it's the idea of having a reverence with God, a relationship with God, a respect with God. It's an Old Testament phrase that describes somebody who knows God as their Savior, who has a relationship with God by faith. It describes somebody that wants to live their lives in step with God's design and in alignment with His will for who He desires for them to be. That's what it means. Here's the characteristics of a woman who wins. This is just introductory. First of all, she's a woman of integrity. Look again, if you would please, at verse number 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is a woman of purity and godliness and integrity. You want to be a woman who wins? You want to be a mother who wins? Then determine to be a person of integrity. Secondly, she's a person of industry. When you begin to look in verse number 13, it begins to describe all the things that this woman does. And she's caring for her family. She is investing. She's in an entrepreneurship. She is strong. It's interesting how many times, three times the word uses strength in relation to this woman. And it's strength to be who God wants her to be, to do that that God wants her to do. Notice she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. You know, this matter of motherhood starts with labor, doesn't it? And the labor doesn't stop. You know, there's work and involvement in the life of being a godly wife and mother. And then notice there's insight. Look if you would please in verse number 26. She opened her mouth in wisdom. You ever noticed how wise that moms can be? You ever notice that? And how they can give direction and insight to life and the lives of their children. And what a blessing that is. I want you to notice she is a woman of interdependence. You say, what do you mean by that? She's not a self-made woman. That's what the world wants. Be a self-made man. Be a self-made woman. You know what? The problem is I'm going to make myself the wrong way if I do it not my way. There is an interdependence here. What do you mean by that? It's found in verse 30. She's a woman who fears the Lord. She recognized that who and what she is does not come from who she is, but what God is in her life, and recognizes that God is her helper, that God is her strengthener, that God is her enabler. There is an interdependence upon God. Ladies and men, today, we need God. If we're going to be the right kind of person, we're going to have the right kind of homes, we're going to go in the right kind of direction, we're going to have the right outcome in our future and in our families, there needs to be a personal dependence upon the God of heaven and aligning ourselves with His will for our lives and being what He'd have us to be. And then here's the last way by introduction that I see that she wins, not only because of her integrity and her industry and her insight and her interdependence, but her inner beauty. Look if you would, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. My wife speaks in some ladies' meetings and has spoken in some ladies' fellowships in our church, and we were discussing Proverbs 31. It's not a passage that I preach on very often, even on Mother's Day. But this is one time that I will. It was interesting. We were riding down the road. We were talking about mothers and Mother's Day and Proverbs 31 and all of that. And here's what she told me. She said, when I speak to the girls in the college, or I speak to ladies, or I deal with this chapter, she said, there's something that I saw here that spoke to me. And I said, well, honey, what's that? And she said this. She said, God does not say anything about this woman's outward appearance. You know what she looks like. You know what color her hair is. You know what her age is. We don't know anything about her outwardly, but we know everything about her inwardly, don't we? Because God's emphasis is not our outward appearance. God doesn't say anything about that, but He says everything about her inward character. Let me just give you this statement, and then I'm going to dive into the message, and I'm going to let us go on time today. And this is worth, in my heart, remembering, outward beauty doesn't always flow in. Outward beauty doesn't always flow in. What I mean by that, what we are on the outside doesn't always flow in and reflect who and what we are on the inside. But here's what I am going to tell you, and I want you to get this. The inward beauty, what we are on the inside, always flows out. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? That inward beauty, that inward quietness, that inward integrity flows out in a person's life and makes a person beautiful. I believe that's the beauty of holiness and the beauty of godliness and the beauty of righteousness in people's lives. Let's talk about mothers who win very quickly. Can I say that she wins by what she gives her family? She wins by what she gives to her family. Notice in here, I believe that she gives consecration. She fears the Lord. You know that the Bible puts a premium upon godly women, godly wives, godly mothers. You realize that children many times come to Christ because of the godly influence of a mother. That's the way it was with Timothy. Paul recounting Timothy's salvation said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And he says in another book that he writes to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Mom, can I just say, your children are your first mission field. What a joy it is that God has given you the opportunity to mold a child's heart and mind and life and point them to the God who created them and loves them and has a design for their lives. Friend, there's nothing greater than godly women pointing children to Jesus Christ. I realize that not everybody has a Christian mother. Paul traces the conversion of Timothy back to the godly influence of a grandmother and a mother. And I thank God that I'm saved today because of the godly influence of a grandmother and a mother. But not everybody has that. But the reality of it is most of us sitting in this building this morning are here because of the influence of a godly mother or grandmother. Mother that prayed for us, took us to church, taught us to love God, read the Bible, sang songs about Jesus. Hey, listen, if you have a mom like that, you ought to thank her for her love for Jesus Christ. You ought to rejoice in that. By the way, fellas, if we have a wife, we ought to thank God for her and what she gives to her family. Let me give a word of encouragement to single moms and those whose husbands are either unsaved or don't attend church with you. Never underestimate the power of your influence in the lives of your children. Evidently, Timothy's father was unsaved. He was a Greek. He was unsaved. Yet the godly influence of his mother made an eternal difference in his life. And listen, one of our presidents said, "No man is poor who had a godly mother." Isn't that a blessing? But not only do I think of her consecration that you can give to your family, but I think about the care. Somebody said that hindsight is what a mom experiences from changing too many diapers. Boy, you think about all that's involved in motherhood. You think about the love, the sleepless nights, the tireless work and effort. You know, any wife and mother that she often has many full-time jobs. You know what? I thought somebody estimated if you hired out all that a wife and mother does, it would become the equivalent of $110,000 per year salary. I'm sure my wife will put in for a raise. Mothers are blowers of noses and washers of ears, smoothers of rough spots and wipers of tears, scrubbers of dishes and wielders of mops, grandmas for dollies and winders of tops, bathers of babies and umpires of spats, helpers with lessons and makers of hats, doctors for headaches and hearers of prayers, generals directing all family affairs, tenders of home fires, builders of men, all for the gift of an adequate pen. Neither a pen nor a word nor a preacher can adequately describe all that is involved in the care of a mother. You can always tell it. You know, your kids get older, you know, and they call the house and you answer it. "Hey, Dad, is Mom there?" I mean, what am I, chopped liver? I don't exist anymore. Mom there? Mom! You know, they're hollering through the phone. "Mom, get Dad off the phone. We'll talk to you." I think about her correction. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Boy, I tell you, I've said it many times, and my mom was so patriotic. She laid the stripes and I saw the stars. You never knew where it was going to land. Never did. She had the eye. How many of your mom had the eye? Yeah, hands went up. You know, you're in a room, And you think that she's not seeing. And all of a sudden you glance up, you know, and you're misbehaving and you got the eye. You know it's bad. It's not going to be good. You know, when if we were ever off somewhere and we're driving for a distance, I'm going to tell on myself. But, you know, I'd always, if I'd gotten the eye, I knew what I was going to get when I got to the house. She was going to get real patriotic when we got to the house. And I always, you know, I'd always be asleep in the car. I mean, quite, just hoping she would forget. The problem is she never forgot, you know, always remembered, you know. Anyway, boy, thank God for the correction of a mother. I'm thankful for a mom who loved me enough to discipline me, to teach me right from wrong, to respect authority, to fear the Lord, because she wanted me to turn out right. We're living in a day when children are being left to themselves and it's becoming a shame to our society. There's absolutely no respect that are being taught in the lives of children today. And you know, it's amazing the average schoolroom is a zoo anymore because kids have been taught absolutely no discipline at home. You know what? That ought not be true of Christian parents. And Christian mothers, God has given us an instruction manual. Somebody said, well, children don't come with instructions. Oh, but they do. It's called a King James Bible. That's what it's called. And then I thought about her companionship. You know what a carpool is? That's a complicated system of transportation where mom always winds up going the furthest distance with the biggest bunch of kids who have had the most sugar. That's what we try to do in our nurseries and children's churches. We soup them up so that when you get them, they're ready. You know, I'm thankful for my mom's companionship. I'm thankful that, you know what, many times that at our lowest points, mothers are there. You ever notice that? I understand that there's always exceptions to the rule, but by and large, the people I'm talking to today, you know exactly what I mean by that. You say, preacher, I've never had any of those things in my life. You know what? Here's a wonderful opportunity for you to begin that in your family and change your heritage and to offer your children something than what you were given. I'm just thankful for what a mom gives to her family. I just am. But then, let me close with this. What a family can give to the mom who wins. See, if you want to win, it comes with care and companionship and consecration and correction and all of these wonderful things. But let me talk a minute about what we can give back. First of all, we can give honor. Let me just say something to the children and teenagers in this room. You can obey your mom without honoring her, but you can't honor her without obeying. There are people who obey, but they don't honor. They do it with a wrong spirit, a wrong attitude. They're hateful. They speak back to their parents. They mistreat them. There are children that curse their parents in behind a closed door. Shame on you if that's you. Honor her. Lift her up. Fellas, let's never put down our wives in front of our children. Let's build them up. Our children need to hear us saying positive, good, right things about their mother. It's so important. It's so important. It's just good to do that. And then not only can we honor her, and I want to honor my mom. I hadn't always honored my mom like I should. I probably, now, you know how it is. You know, ladies go to the beauty shop and they can cover up. You know what I'm talking about? They can come out, oh, that color looks so good on you. But if I do that, or fellas, you do that, I can't believe he colors his hair. Can you believe that? Just not fair, is it? Let's honor them. I'm sure I put some gray hairs, although you won't ever see any in my mom. All right? She'll be here tonight. And then, not only give her honor, but give her our love. When was the last time you just said to your mama, I love you? When's the last time that is music to your mother's ears. And I don't care what age she is. I don't care if she's 29 or 99. She wants to hear, I love you. To speak it. To write it. To say it. But you know, Bible love and true love is more shown than said. Now, I think it's good to say, I love you. And fellas, listen, you need to tell your wife on a regular basis, I love you. It's important for her to hear that and to be affirmed to her that you love her and you value her and she's important to you. But then show it. Don't just say it, show it. Fellas, let me tell you how our wives spell love. Or you say it's L-O-V-E. No, it's not. It's T-I-M-E. It's time. That's how they spell it. Because what they need from us is quality time. They need that. Of maybe giving up something we want to do to share in her life of something she wants to do. I'm going to tell you what that is. What is it? Well, if it's in my house, it's Hobby Lobby. We ride by it. Hobby Lobby. And I'm putting the pedal down. No. I told her the other day, I said, honey, you got to go to the doctor. I'm going to take you to Hobby Lobby when we get done. We're going to go. We're going to go. I can see that store in 30 seconds. I walk in, scan it. I saw everything in it in 30 seconds. I'm good. You know? 3 hours. Every sign. It's like going to a museum and reading every sign and every display and every. But you know, if I love her, I'm sharing time with her. And there's many ways to do that. I'm just giving an illustration that's funny. Guys, let's show our wives that we love them. They need to be affirmed through our words and through our lips and through our lives that we love them and value them and they're important to us. I can only imagine where I would be, our family would be, if I did not have my wife. And then let me just say this, and I'm done. Not only honor her, not only love her, but then praise her. Look at verse number 28 again. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Blessed. Not perfect. No mom's perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect mom, perfect wife, perfect. That doesn't exist. You know, I've said many times we all struggle together, don't we, to be the kind of person God wants us to be. We all make mistakes. We all have failures in our lives. But the key is to fail forward. And we ought to rise up and call her blessed. You know, if nothing more, she gave you life. I never forget all these kooks on TV and the radio. I didn't ask to be born. Well, I thank God that my mom let me be born. All that is just a smart aleck. That's all that is. Just a smart aleck. That has no value, no respect, nothing but for themselves. That's all they live for is themselves. We live in such a narcissistic society where it's all about us. And I'm going to tell you, social media and selfies and all that hadn't helped it in any at all. It hadn't. My wife and I, we're not good selfie takers. We never post anything. I'm always cutting our head off or face off. We fall out in the parking lot laughing while I'm trying to do this stuff, you know? And we just say, well, we're not going to share that with anybody. We just look it at ourselves and laugh. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. But we live in such a society where it's all about us, such an entitlement. You know, I am so grateful for a mom who had me and gave me life. And then gave me the opportunity to have eternal life. If nothing more, you say, well, my mom hadn't done anything for me. She gave you life. And if that's all she's ever given you, you ought to respect her and bless her for that. She may not be, you may think in your mind she's not worthy of anything else, but I'm glad for that, aren't you? But probably there's more than that if we work hard at it and look for it. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. Let's find ways to praise our wives and mothers today. Maybe it's just going by, even after the service, and saying, Mama, you know, I love you and I'm thankful for you. I appreciate what you do in my life. I thank you for what you've done for me. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a visit to the nursing home. Maybe it is. Because you're not able to take care of your mom. I can promise you this, there's some people that lost their moms in the last year. And they'd love to be able to go by and speak to their mom. They would. Maybe you need to call her on the phone, write her a letter. Just tell her you love her. You know, there's going to be a day, if we live this side of heaven long enough, that we'll be without our mom. Just going to come. I dread that thought. I pray my mom lives a long, long time. I hope the rapture takes place and never go through it. But the reality of it is we may have to face that. So why don't we give our flowers and our love and our respect now. Why don't we do it now? And fellas, maybe you just need to, reach out and say, honey, you know what? Maybe I hadn't been the best kind of husband. Maybe I hadn't shown and affirmed my love for you like I should. Well, I'll tell you what, today's going to be different. I'm going to start fresh today. Maybe some children need to start fresh today honoring your mom. Need to do that. How important that is. And the more age that my wife's mom and my mom experience, although she's only 29, the further she gets along, the more I realize how important she is in my life and how much I value her. And so just today, value that wife, value that mother, be thankful for what they do. Amen? And maybe the best way you could show praise and honor and love for your mom today is to come to Christ. Maybe she's been praying for you for years to be saved, and you've been saying no, and today you need to be saved. Or maybe you need to get back right with God because you're away from Him and you know it and you're breaking your mom's heart and you're the subject of her prayers. And you know she's calling you now. Why don't you answer her prayer today and respond to God? Why don't you do that? And maybe some moms need to, afresh and new, dedicate themselves to being that person, to being that mother, that wife, that woman who wins in life because you're what God designed and made you to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer.